When we talk about what a trailblazer is, it's usually associated with the words pathfinder, pioneer, or vanguard. So how about we add change agent to that? Welcome to Trailblazers Radio, a unique podcast platform that speaks about a myriad of subjects. We are not afraid of opening closed doors, and we always tell it like it is, period. We are accessible on various social media platforms such as YouTube, Facebook, and Instagram. We're also accessible on various streaming audio platforms such as Spotify, Google Podcasts, and so much more. It is our mission to ensure that you are educated, entertained, and edified. And we thank you for tuning in to us. Hey, good evening. Hope your Friday evening or morning or whatever part of the day you're watching this is going well. Welcome to Trailblazer Radio. More importantly, welcome to the Author's Alley, the show that where we not only talk about the books that the authors write about, but we also talk about the stories behind those books. We also talk about the stories behind the author as well. I am your host, Mr. Frederick Beattie, and tonight, or whenever you're watching this, I got a doozy for you guys. I have a good one for you guys tonight, or whenever you guys are watching this. I've been wanting to get this young lady up in this particular platform for a while now. And due to the schedules and things of that nature, it hasn't happened. But for some strange reason, we always tend to come back and connect with each other every once in a while. I met this young lady on Clubhouse, and she is a powerhouse of a person. She is a powerhouse of a person, also a powerhouse of an author. But let me introduce her before we even get into all the good stuff. So first of all, this young lady goes by the Lady of Wisdom. Her ministerial credentials, pastoral record, teaching career, honors and awards, publications, board memberships, appointments, list of distinguished collaborators, academic, synergistic activities, and creative talents are extraordinary. She is the founder and bishop of the Tabernacle of Alpha and Omega Non-Denominational Church in Jackson, Mississippi. She also has a Bachelor of Science degree in mass communication with an emphasis on radio, television, and public relations, and a Master of Science in Library Science and Educational Technology from Jackson State University. Bishop Coleman has earned a doctorate in philosophy and human relations and a PhD in clinical psychology from Dayspring Christian University. She is also a certified licensed Christian master life coach. She is also the executive director of Tabernacle Community Outreach Mentoring Program and is the CEO of C-Squared Educational Resource Center. Located in Jackson, Mississippi. She is also an executive director of Kids College at Jackson State University from 1999 to 2012, and as a executive director of the Children's Defense Fund Freedom School at JSU from 2005 to 2012. In 2017, Bishop Coleman was appointed academic dean of the DCCJ branch of the Kingdom Theological Seminary. In addition to being a master Christian life coach and counselor, she's also been named by her clients as the Let It Go Specialist Coach. She helps women and men learn how to identify their pain points so they can permit themselves to be happy, healthy, and whole, and live abundantly in Christ. She has a lot of honors, but among those honors, she is a recipient of the President's Higher Education Community Service Award for Excellence in Hurricane Relief Service, the Lady of Wisdom Award, the Community Service Award from the City of Jackson, and so many more. Dr. Coleman and her daughter, Dr. Catherine Coleman Smith, released their second edition of their journal and workbook, Mama's Book of Prayers, Prompts, Power, and Praise, in June of 2023. But in addition to that, we're going to talk about another book that she has. So without any further delay, and man, all those accolades and all those honors, those are a lot. And for me, it is an overwhelming amount of accolades and honors. However, those accolades and honors don't even speak to half of who the person she is. So without any further delay, let me bring up here Mrs.
well, I won't even say Mrs. Dr. Bishop Carolyn Coleman.
Hey,
Ms. Coleman.
Hey, darling, how are you?
I'm good. Those are a lot of accolades, ma'am.
Yeah. You know, I tell people, don't get caught up in any of that. Just call me Lady of Wisdom and just know I'm a woman of God. That's enough for me.
There we go. I love that. I love that. You know, first of all, I'm excited to have you here. It's been a long time. It's been a long while coming. And I'm happy that we're able to connect and get and talk about not only you as an author, but also the, you know, your latest release that's out right now. Mm-hmm. So I'm appreciative. I thank you so very much for being here. One thing I want to let everybody know here, you know, I met this young lady through Clubhouse, a social audio app. Mm-hmm. And by way of Dr. Annette West and her club that was on Clubhouse for a while. And when I tell you, every time we got in there, we had a rip roaring good time. even if it was just me, Dr. Coleman, and Dr. West in there, we had a good time. Mm-hmm. And those I can say those were the days. But I know as we all mature, we all grow, and we all kind of grow out of certain things, and we all move forward. So, again, I appreciate you being here. I really do.
I count it an honor, Frederick. You know, from the time that we had an opportunity to meet on Clubhouse, I was always excited about what you were talking about, the many activities you were involved in. And I just kept saying, you know what, when we started missing you, I said, wait a minute, where's Frederick? We have to check on him, make sure he's doing well. I know he's being active. I know he's writing or producing or doing something. So it was good when we had an opportunity to catch up. And I think, you know, I believe in the timing of God. And I think everything is in its own time, in its own season. And so I'm just appreciative for the opportunity to be here, to share the new anthology with your audience, and to just share some of the wonderful things that we've been blessed to do, and these wonderful dynamic authors who have just poured out their hearts to release the hidden secrets so that we could move forward. So we give God praise for them, and thank you for this opportunity.
Ooh, I can't wait, I can't wait, I can't wait. But before we even get into the anthology, tell everybody, because a lot of people, I think a lot of people, even myself, want to know, you know, just a little bit of who Carolyn Coleman is. You know, where did this love of writing and where does love of writing come from?
I started writing when I was a small girl. When I was in elementary school, I loved to write. I loved to write poems. I loved to sing. So it was always a part of my nature. But I think the admiration came because of my mom. My mother was, you know, they always wanted her to speak. They always wanted her to do something. And she would always say, okay, y'all got to write me a speech. Y'all have to do it. What do y'all want me to say? What should I say? And as a result of that, I found great pleasure in just trying to put some things together for my mom. And then my nephew, many of you may know my nephew, Kiese Lehman, who is a New York best-selling author, how many times over, you may ask. And he's a writer. And then my sister, Dr. Mary Coleman, she's a writer. My daughter is a writer. So it is as if we have been imprinted and blueprinted by God to write and share our stories. But life, you know how life happens, Frederick.
Of course.
Career and raising a child. And now at this particular age where I am, it was as if God called me home to what I love doing, which was writing. And so I started taking care of my now 94-year-old mom since about 2012. And as a result of that, it's exciting to share with her what I've written about her, because no book excludes mama. Mama's in everything that I do, because she has been such a powerful influence in my life. Not someone who went to college, but she sent all of her children to college. She sent other women's children to college while we were still in elementary and high school. So that says to you the degree and the desire of loving, love that she had for people. And of course, when you see that, you begin to mimic that. And as a result of that, the purity of her heart. Now, I'm not saying that she's not something, because she can be a cookie when she wants to be, but the purity of her heart and her ability to share and her ability to forgive, I think put a piece of security in me in times where I was going through some things in life. And I can remember even today, my mom's house, we still maintain her home in Forest, Mississippi. And she has a sign on her bathroom door, and I guarantee you it's probably been there about 17 years. It's crackling, the paper is crackling now, but it's still there. And she said, don't take it down. And the words are amazing because it says, pray until you get an answer. Don't stop until you get an answer from God. And so it's, you know, it's just stayed with me, the power and the influence that a loving mother, a mother who sacrificed, you know, my mom and dad both worked, and mama worked two jobs and did other things to make sure that her family was moving. But here this woman is buying weekly readers way back then for her children. You know that was a sacrifice. But she did it. She said, because when you learn to master reading, she said, you can travel the world and you can do anything you desire to do. So what can I say? We write the letter that heal, because we've seen the healing process through our own lives, through my mom's life, through family members, and through, you know, in ministry as a pastor many times. People would call. My first book was written, Mama's Book of Prayers, because so many people would call me through the years, and they would ask me to pray for them. And the first thing that they would say, I don't know how to pray. And I would say, no, don't say that. Because prayer is just your communication with God. Whatever it is you desire, just open your mouth and ask him. That's prayer. And they would say no, and they would call from all over the country. And I wouldn't know these people if I saw them today. I might remember their voices. But right. I decided that it was necessary to write some of the prayers and some of the scriptures that I have shared in my 30 plus years of ministry that God has used to help people move from the other side of despair into the positions of joy. So that's why we write.
When you talk, I sense a great deal of admiration and pride when you talk about why you write. One of the main reasons as to who you write to, you know, you write to the people that's going through something or just looking for an answer in the midst of the storm. Mm-hmm. And I pick up on that just from hearing you talking. I mean, your mother's the main inspiration for you writing, but the why to it is to help people kind of get to that one place of desperation to this one place of peace and joy.
Yeah.
I pick up on that heavily when you're talking. I'm like, it takes someone really, really, I won't even say special, because a lot of us can write from those aspects or from those points, because all of us have went through something and we can write about it from where we came from as to where we got to. And that can be relevant, that can be relative, and that can be revelatory to a lot of people. But to put it in a sense and an aspect to where, okay, here's how I got to this, here's where I am, but here's how I got to this place. But instead of using this method, use the same method, but add God into it and see what happens.
Yes. Find your blueprint.
How important is it for someone to find their blueprint, since we're talking about blueprints?
It's everything. And it takes time. People keep looking for the inner workings of who they are on the outside. Right. It's already on the inside. You know, as a counselor, I realize, and I teach others, our job is to listen and to allow the individual to speak. Why? Because you really can solve your own problems. You just sometimes just need someone to hear you and to hear yourself saying it out loud. Mm-hmm. And so the privilege of being able to be a good listener, you know, it is so very important. As you picked up on those keys and clues as I was speaking, that's the indicator that when we can listen to others, then we can sympathize, we can also work with, and we can find room for revenues to grow and expand. And that's what we want to do. I think that's the opportunity that this anthology, as well as the first anthology, allowed me to do, because I've learned with the process of taking care of my mom, no man is an island. You need an army. You need people to help you. If it's nothing, just being in the space that you can take a moment to go and write, you know? And mm-hmm. so I've been blessed with a village, and I want others who have not had that opportunity to understand the power of the village, who have been trapped by the enemy, to say, no, you can't tell anybody what you're going through. You know, as children, we were taught what happens in this house stays in this house. Mm-hmm. And many people are depressed. Many people commit suicide, to be quite honest, because they've held on to secrets, which is a trick of the enemy, instead of speaking truth. When we begin to speak truth to the enemy, we gain our power back. So I teach people, listen, take your power back. You must speak to that inner child, and you mm-hmm. must tell her, no matter what we've been through, I tell him, no matter what we've been through, we're here now. And go back and capture that little boy, that little girl, and bring them home to the woman or man that you are today.
Ooh, I mean, that's something I've been talking about for a while now. You are in my backyard right now. You are literally standing in my backyard, in the middle of my backyard right now. Mm. I've been talking about that for quite some time on my podcast, especially when I talk about the aspects of it when it comes to us as men. Mm-hmm. I talk about us getting back to that little boy, that little boy that dwells in us, and reconciling with him. And it's been met with some positive yet, but also negative, because there are some people that say that, well, that person that don't dwell in me. Yeah, it do.
Yeah, it definitely dwells in you. And if you're not careful, it will define you in a way that it should not. And so we must be careful to remember who we are and understand, you know what? I'm good. Don't forget, I'm good. I survived that. Now that I've learned to survive it, now I can overcome it. And now that I'm able to overcome this aspect of my life, I can go and share. I had to say to someone, you know what? Until you can speak it, you're not over the pain. Until you can tell your story of what you've been through, you're still a victim. But the moment that you can speak the truth and be willing to share it with others, not only are you free, but you go into the process of being able to help others to become free. And that's the bottom line goal.
Mm-hmm. It is. But I think, and this is probably something I know that you've probably come to in your encounters when you talk to people, a lot of us have trouble getting to the survivor part of it.
Yes, but you know why? Because we won't confront the truth.
Exactly.
How can I survive what I'm not willing to conquer? How am I able to grow if I'm not willing to say, I need help in this arena, in this area of my life? See, we must be willing to do that. And I want to share this with you, because look like we're just drawn to this particular piece. In the book, we write the letters that heal uncovered. This particular letter is one that I have written, and it's called Rescued from the Violations of Life.
Ooh.
And see, And this is how you begin to heal, to be made whole. Listen, we don't want to just be healed. Our ultimate goal is to be made whole, complete, lacking nothing. You're happy with yourself. You're able to contend with life and still feel good in the process. That's the ultimate goal. That's what we're trying to reach. And we can do that because we have the word of God that says what? I'll give you beauty for ashes and joy for all of your sorrow. But guess what? I got to find into that. Woo! I got to live that. I have to speak that over my life every day until it begins to manifest. Then when the manifestation comes, the revelation comes, then I'm able to what? Move into the next level and the next dimension. So let me share a little piece of this one with you for a minute.
Yes,
how it appeals to the audience as we're talking about the inner child. Dear inner self, I have avoided some conversations with you because of the depths of the pain we withstood. So many pains are buried beneath the surface. So many words are never spoken. Too many issues are left buried in an attempt to suppress the heartache. Today is our day of reckoning. We must confront the past that left us void and vacant of love. I apologize to you because as a child, I didn't know what to say are due to protect you from the following childhood violations we endured. Violation number one, the perpetrator. The dirty roving hands of a dirty old man who was supposed to be family by marriage that at age 12 inserted themselves into our vagina. It was sexual abuse. This was the scenario. Mama and cousin X would pick peas from the garden and churn butter. Cousin X's husband would take me to the store and buy candy. It was not the candy on the shelf he wanted. It was the candy of his filthy hands playing roller coaster games inside of me. It was sexual abuse, but at age 12, the logic of it all was lost in the feeling of shame. His nasty hands left an imprint of shame that stole the joy of childhood. I was too young to understand it all, but positive of one thing, it had to stop. I learned the power of persuasion to justify staying home to avoid his touch. I was too scared to tell Mama and afraid Daddy would kill him. I suffered with shame for many years and made eating and going to church the solution to my pain. I became an emotional eater, but fell in love with God. The hope of a new beginning in Christ saved me. It would be years later while watching an Oprah show on abuse that I found the courage to call Mama and tell her what he did to me. She was silent. Looking back with the eyes of time, her silence reflected her abuse too. Telling Mama healed my pain and set me free to forgive, and it brought my liberty. All those years, the abuser won. That's what secrets can do to you. The empty puts you, your mind in rewind, constantly on blast, rehearsing and reliving the pain consistently and unconsciously. Freedom only comes when you uncover, release, and identify the guilty party and put the pain in the past to bed. That can only happen when you release it and let it go. I'll stop right there. There are five others that you can get the book to read and find out the rest of the story of rescued from the violations of life.
Man, and I think that anybody that if you listen to that and you can't help but to be moved by that and also be convicted by that, you know, because if that's something that you've been through, if you've been through that particular type of abuse and you know that you've ran from it, you've hidden it, you've kind of either ate it away or you've drunk it away or whatever you've done to kind of hide it or, you know, or better yet, kind of numb yourself to it.
Try to put it to bed.
Now it's time to put a cover on that and cover that and tuck it and put it away because it's time.
Uncover and be set free.
You speak to a moment that we all come across, that one moment of clarity, like, okay, this has got to quit. This has got to stop some way or another. I don't know how it's going to stop, but it's going to stop.
Yeah. The power is in my hand to do something to change the scenario.
We got to. I mean, the power has always been in our hands. It's just, I think when we come to the part of trying to actually put the words, this is going to stop, to action, we tend to freeze up because we think that if we do that, we'll lose favor with other people. Like if we tell somebody, like a parent or a trusted relative, or even someone that's outside of our family circle, we think that we'll lose the respect of other people that we care about. And that's the enemy.
Because the reality of it is, when you can share your story that so many are still carrying inside of them, that's still weighing them down, and you share it, it sets them free. I've had so many women say, oh my God, I've been waiting on somebody to say this all my life. I needed this moment. I needed the clarity to just say, you know what? I don't have to hide this anymore. The enemy has power when he keeps us silent. But the moment we begin to open our mouths and begin to speak truth, you take your power back. And that's what We Write the Letter That Healed uncovers all about. It's about women and men taking their power back. In this, I've written a few pieces, and we have 10 powerful women with this project. But we've written pieces like Stand and Rise, Love Conquers Pain, Mama Drama Does Not Have to Define You, No-show daddies step up to the plate, rescued from the violations of life. Your special gifted learner who learns differently. So we just began to share and open up to help men and women recognize that, you know what? It's not too late for me to make some changes. Mm-hmm. It's not too late for me to reassess my thoughts of what I've been doing so that I can figure out for myself who I am and what I need to do. So that's what this book is all about.
You have a gathering of 10 women. What? So how are these amazing women and authors drawn to you? Was it something that you said, or was it something that they were drawn? Were they drawn to you personally, or was it just the title that's there that drew them to you?
They didn't know the title. I didn't know the title.
They just wrote.
We were working on pieces, and I said to Father, I said, you know, I still don't know what the title of this anthology is. And I can remember one morning just walking out of my bedroom into my kitchen, and out of nowhere, the Spirit of the Lord says, uncovered. And I just stopped. You know when God is speaking to you, because he's a silent voice, but in his silence, he speaks with such volume that it controls your ever being. Mm-hmm. And so uncovered. And I laughed and I said, uncovered. And I called my daughter and I said, well, I know what the name of the book is. We write the letters that he'll uncover for this anthology. And she said, "Ooh," she said, "that almost sounds scary." And I said, well, you know, I never tell anybody what to write. Okay. Right. These women, many of them, I met them on Clubhouse. They came in to listen to my program in the evening that I had on Clubhouse. And some of them knew other women that had written in the first collaboration. We had 15 women to write in the first collaboration. And so I invited those. I prayed over it, asked God, who is the assignment? Who is the person assigned to this anthology? Mm-hmm. And as I put the information out there, different people would come in and say, well, you know what? I really would like to be a part of this. I've never written anything before. I'm not a writer, but I'm just led to do this. And mm-hmm. I'm going, you're the one, baby. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Come on, God
sent you. Because he knows what he's doing. He said to me about 3.5 years ago, he said, those women, those men that I've hidden them for such a season as this. Now, this is a season where they're going to come forth. They're going to be the staple to bring people home, not only to God, but home to themselves. So long we've been isolated and caged. You know, there are many people in prison, behind prison walls, but there are many, many more in their homes, in their own prisons, because they have not dealt with the issues of life. And so that's what these anthologies are all about. That's what these letters, prayers are all about. It's getting people to recognize, you know what? You can do this. You have all the potential in the world. Take your power back. Take it back, take it back, take it back. And so go ahead.
I gotta ask you though, because you have these wonderful and amazing writers here that's arrayed for this purpose and for this time. Was there any of the pieces that you read, including your own, that brought you to tears?
I think every piece that I've written, I think they brought me to victory. I think the crying was left in the past with the victory of knowing that, you know, I've overcome all of that. I've been graced by God that the stains of my past did not dictate my future. Right. And that is because of the power of God. Now, the rescue from the violation of life was the one that I called my editor and I called some other folks and said, listen, I want you to listen to this piece. And do you think I need to leave this one out? Because it is deep. It is not for the shrinking heart. This book is going to make you think. It's going to cause you to look inward and talk to yourself and see yourself and hopefully free yourself. And right. So everybody, no, you can't take that one out. You can't take it out. It has to stay in.
Leave it.
It has to stay in. And
leave
so
it.
I said, okay. But you know, God had me to write it, but boy, that was something.
And I'm pretty sure you were like kind of reluctant about it because you were thinking about, well, I don't, and I think I know for me, when I write stuff that has a little bit of oomph to it,
mm-hmm.
I have to think about like, do I want to even put this in this book or do I just want to not do it? I mean, because it was written. Exactly. Because in my last poetry book, it was something that I put in there that I let a couple of people read.
Mm-hmm.
And they literally called me on video chat on Messenger. It was like, that's how you feel? Like, about what? I mean, I'm just telling the truth. He said, and I asked him, what do you think? Should it go in his book or not? She said, mm-hmm. Look, and they said, look, bro, if it's your truth, that's your truth. Speak yes. your truth.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
Consequences at this point, you know, accept the consequences, but opinions be damned.
Yeah.
They're gonna say what they want. They're gonna say what they want to say.
Yeah. People are gonna say what they want to say, but I think because of the power of the revelatory anointing on these letters from all of these women, that everyone that I have who have participated in reading or sharing the advanced copies to get their support and opinions have all said, oh my God, you know, I cried, I reflected, and I feel free, you know, because there's a way that we have to speak to help people know your freedom is in the walls of your thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
Uncage yourself. Uncover what was trying to trap you so you can be free. And in one of the letters, and I believe it's at the end of Rescue from the Violations of Life, I put in there, my mother always used to ask the question. She said, I don't know why people would get on TV and tell their business. And I don't know why they get writing books and tell all of their stuff. And I said, boy, I wonder how she's going to feel about this book. And as I was writing, I wrote a note to her and, well, to everyone that was reading. I said, I finally have an answer for my mother because I never had an answer before this book. And right. The answer is, it sets you free. People write to be set free. And as you're set free, you allow the wings of your deliverance to help others to be free. And that becomes major. So you are tearing the kingdom down for the enemy and you're lifting up the kingdom of God because it will take God to help you get through life circumstances. And so when we know that and we can begin to honor that and know, you know what, I survived. The reason I'm not in a mental ward, I'm not crazy, I didn't go out and do the wrong thing, it was because the God in me kept me.
That's right.
And he keeps us when we can't keep ourselves. Thank God for being kept. Oh my goodness. So, you know, you think about that. One of the articles, we have a powerful article that was written about the pythons in the church. And it's a very powerful piece that I helped my sister to compose. And I do ghostwriting. I have my own publishing company. You know that. And so let me see if I find that. I want to find that. Oh,
pythons in the church.
Right quick. And share a little of that. I mean, all of these letters are just absolutely fantastic. You can't pick up any letter in here and not go, oh my God, this is truth that I've been needing to hear someone else say so that I can free myself. And so I want to find that. Where is it? Let me go
pythons
back.
Pythons in the church.
Pythons in the pulpit is the actual name of it.
Ooh.
Pythons in the pulpit. Let me see what page. I just received the books on yesterday. How wonderful it was to receive the books on yesterday and to have the interview with you now is just remarkable. And it, again, it just attests to the power of God and how he works things, not according to our will on page 138, but according
to perfect timing.
Perfect timing. And that's the key, isn't it? to walk in the power of God. Woo!
Mm-hmm. Yes, ma'am. Key.
But this is written by Apostle Rose Thomas. Pythons in the pulpit. It hurts to pen this letter, but I know it's necessary. If the church walls could speak and the pulpit could prophesy, the membership would be appalled at the lies and hidden agendas of many of its occupants. As an apostle, pastor, wife, mother, and friend of God, I have been preaching and teaching for over a decade. I have also been a recipient and a witness to the misconduct of some church leaders. Many so-called God-fearing men and women of God use their membership as their personal ATMs. They borrow money with no intent to repay and manipulate the word for personal and sexual pleasure. I unapologetically call them the pythons in the pulpit. In the freshman year of my ministry, I confronted being a female in a male-dominated avocation. My love and thirst to please God and do the work of the master had not prepared me for the immoral preacher standing in the pulpit. I challenge every woman and every man in the ministry to pray for divine discernment when dealing with clergy wearing white collars with gold pectoral crosses, proclaiming salvation, but living the opposite. My eyes became open to the preachers orchestrating sexual misconduct and abuse to feed their pleasures while condemning the church. Be aware of those dynamic so-called anointed prophets and pastors with dark hidden agendas that have nothing to do with God. These pythons have the same playbook. They welcome you into the pulpit with dancing fingers, scratching handshakes, or that godly hug that feels like a pat down. You pull away and he keeps nudging you closer and closer. Like a deer in headlights, you politely pull back in horror and take a seat. You start praying for God to cast out the demons operating in their hearts as you are called up to preach. After service, the pythons follow up with, turn around so I can get a good look at you. And the lines continue. These pythons will teach and preach on honor and respect, but cannot live it. While their wives are sitting at the front row shouting hallelujah, they are in the pulpit perpetrating. These pythons are poised as family men, outstanding community leaders, and highly respected individuals in their fields. I'll stop there.
You know what? You in my backyard again.
It must be the night to be in the backyard.
You in my backyard again. You're standing right in the middle of my backyard. And for me, I'm totally okay with that. Not uncomfortable, I don't feel like I'm scared or violated. I'm totally comfortable because I find it very, very, I won't even call it ironic, because at this point, and this is just my thought process. At this point, the irony of what she is saying isn't lost on me. Because there's facts in that.
Mm-hmm.
And I wrote a piece in my last poetry book about what she's talking about. It was just as forceful as hers is. Her letter is my poetry piece was just as forceful, probably more forceful.
Mm-hmm.
And when I say that you're in my backyard, because I say that because she's echoing the same sentiments that not only her as a leader in a church, no doubt.
Mm-hmm.
A spiritual leader, but also a leader and probably in her community too. The same sentiments that she's echoing are more likely the same sentiments that a lot of people are echoing too. And I'm pretty sure that a lot of pastors and a lot of bishops and those in clergy are beginning to see that particular thing right there. She just pulled the curtain on a whole bunch of stuff.
Uncovered.
And all those people that she's talking about are going to very, very soon exit stage left. Because what she uncovered is something that, and again, when I say you're in my backyard, because a lot of this happens in our churches.
It happens in every church, but we know it because it's our churches. And what is amazing, and one of the things in the writing of this particular piece, was the realization that if we're going to bring those who have not yet made a decision if they want to become believers, we have to allow them to know that those of us in ministry, we can talk about the wrongs inside of the church. Because if we can talk about the wrongs and recognize the church is a hospital full of people in need of deliverance. And therefore, you know what? There are some they're perverts, they're good people, they're sad people, they're psychotic people, they're emotionally drained people, they're overworked people, they're preachers who have given their all and they're depressed because of all of the circumstances and what they fight in leadership. So it was time for those in the body of Christ to speak out about what's happening in the church relative to having strangers not connected with God put their two cents in, hear it from the sources. And that's what the pythons in the pulpit was addressing. And then here's another piece, just giving you a little taste of bits and pieces. This is a letter written by Patricia Jackson. She's in my seminary school. I met her on Clubhouse as well. She was a part of the first anthology and handpicked by God for this one because it just took us all deeper. We went somewhere else. We didn't even remember. I don't tell anybody what to write. But all the letters end up being in alignment. People say, did you tell them what to write? No, baby. The Holy Spirit did that. But this is a piece that she has written to her son. Son, you will win in the end. My dearest son, I hope this letter finds you in a moment of peace amidst the raging warfare that schizophrenia and bipolar disorder have brought into your life. I want you to know that I love you more than words express, and I'll never cease believing in your healing. You are my precious son, and I stand on the word of God, refusing to surrender to the storms that have battered our family. Though your journey is challenging and would cause many to fall, we are warriors, you and I. We battle not with swords and shields, but with unwavering faith and prayers. I have spent countless nights on my knees, tears streaming down my face, begging for the day when your mind would find peace and your soul would be free from torment. I see glimpses of your beauty so buried beneath the layers of illness. I remember the sound of your laughter and the sparkle in your eyes when you were just a child. I recall the playfulness and the jokes you often told. Those memories keep me going and fuel my prayers for your healing. I know you are not your diagnosis. You are so much more. And I'll stop there. You have to get the book, read the book. I'm telling you, this book is something else, baby.
Man, more than something else. That I'm over here just listening to the letter that she's written that writing, and I see so much, and I hear the love, but I also hear the determination in her words because just as he's fighting a battle, she's fighting a battle too, because she wants as he's fighting to be whole and sane and healed, she's fighting the same battle for him. And that, and for me, that speaks so much volumes, because sometimes, and I'll say this from my own experience, sometimes it you have to have somebody to stand beside you and fight with you.
Yeah.
We don't fight these battles alone. And sometimes to have somebody to stand back to back with you or side by side with you makes all the difference, because now you have a person that's going to help you and make sure that if you get knocked down, they're going to pick you back up and vice versa. And whatever that storm is, you both of you will endure together, and
yes,
you'll come out of it differently than when you went into it.
Mm-hmm. She told me the other day, Frederick, she said, I told my son that one of my letters was about him. And he said, what? You put me in a book? And you're going to have to hear her testimony, because she said, finally, after all of these years, he is beginning seemingly to come back to himself now. And I tell all of my writers all the time, when God charges you to write a book that says, we write the letters that heal, know the healing process first begins in you. And then it carries over. The anointing on these words, as you're listening to them, I believe you can feel it as well. These words have been anointed and appointed by God for such a season and time as this, because so many women keep secrets about the mental illness aspect. So many men think that, you know, this is something I have to hide. No, this is something we must contend with. And I want to share just a little, this letter here. Ooh, this one made me go, woohoo, me. it's written by Carolyn Hewitt, and it's entitled, she's a first time writer, never written before, but it's titled A Letter from a Healed Divorcee. Dear elated divorcee, I want to assume when most couples marry, they not only hope that only death will separate them. I do not believe anyone marries with the intent to divorce, or do they? Well, I did not. I married a man I met in our senior year of high school. Although our upbringing were different, the nature of our hearts were the same. He understood his role as a husband and father as a young man. As we matured, we grew apart and respectfully moved on with our lives. We shared children who are now adults. Neither of us are codependent on our children to determine our happiness. Now, here we go. Decades later, I remarried, thinking it would be my last. However, my experience was traumatic. Can I indulge you for a moment on one of the root causes of my divorce? But most importantly, my healing that came as a divorcee. My ex-husband repeatedly expressed his in-love affection for his married daughter during our marriage. On the outside, he gave the appearance that he and his daughter had a close relationship and that he was a good father. On the contrary, I witnessed the pretense and the non-existent relationship between the two. She was very disrespectful to both of us. She often ignored him to get her way, and he pursued her even more. He would appease her emotional detachment, and a sense of entitlement with money, trips, and gifts was a response. Prioritizing his daughter over us created contention in our marriage. His infatuation with his daughter was unusual, abnormal, and unhealthy. It was beyond that of a good, loving father. I viewed this as a problem, and it angered him. Then he began accusing me of disliking her. I was unable to come in alignment with his distorted and unbiblical order of marriage. I married my husband to be his wife, not second to his daughter. And I knew I deserved better and more. He started to become enraged and verbally abusive because I was not compromising. So he impulsively abandoned the marriage, stating that he was in love with his daughter and there was nothing that I nor God could do anything about that. You have to read more. Uncovered is the name of this book.
So not only am I, now her words are very, I hear her words. They're very powerful. And I pick up a lot of not desperation. I pick up very little of that in her words, but I do pick up a sense of determination to want to make her marriage work.
Yeah.
But also contentment into when he decided to leave, she was cool with it.
Yeah, at that point she had already recognized that the marriage was over. You know how people stay in relationships long after they're ended, just for protocol and for society. Mm-hmm. And so they had already mentally separated.
Checked out.
Yes, though they were physically in the place. But then the overcoming knowledge that, you know what, this was not what I needed. There is more to life. And I am so grateful that, you know what, I can see the light and keep moving.
Yes, indeed.
I'm not consumed by the darkness.
Mm-mm. And when you ended it off where he was in love with his daughter, there was nothing. I thought I was about to start scratching my head like, what?
That I told you that one kind of had my eyes open and and I went, oh, Lord, you know, you have really uncovered, released, and allowed us to be set free with this book. And everybody, oh, my goodness. There are other titles. It would be best if you let go. So many, the titles really tell you a story about these letters. Letter to Mama, I'm holding on, a prayer for strength, a prayer for breakthrough. We have a young lady whose sister passed last year, and she's still trying to learn how to let go. So she wrote a letter to Brenda, to her sister. You're going to be healed because people are going through these things alone. But with this book, they will never, ever be alone.
Man, look, the snippets of the pieces that you recite, that you talk, that you just read. First and foremost, I'm already intrigued. I'm already drawn in. I'm drawn in spiritually, but I'm also drawn in emotionally, because now I want to read the rest of these letters and I want to know more about what happened and how they got over.
Yes, because you're going to find out how they were able to overcome all of these circumstances and share with you how to help you learn how to get over them. So it's not just about writing the letters, but sharing the deliverance that they were able to receive and that you can also receive. And so we find that to be fascinating. I'm going to share a tidbit of one little piece because it covers everything. This one is entitled, Your Special Gifted Learner Who Learns Differently. Dear loving special need parents, to every parent burdened with the reality that your child struggle with grasping and retaining information in the learning process, this letter is for you. As frustrating and as hard as it may be for you to accept your child's learning disability, it is more complicated for your child to comprehend than you. Think how painful it is for a child to try and still not understand or forget what they thought they knew. The rigors of school and the taunting of peers can make the school experience very daunting. Before you get tutors, and you will need to, first adjust your mindset and face the reality that your child is a pupil who learns differently than others. Ask these questions and prioritize your answer. How can I help? What must I do to make them love the skin that they're in? Asking and answering these vital questions will help your child feel good about themselves and set a pathway to victory. Teach them how to use their mind to their fullest potential. Please have your child tested to determine their strengths. Applaud those strengths while you work on the rest. Let them see and feel your good intentions. Maintaining open doors of communication builds trust and confidence. Share your truth, but never put them down. Never compare them to other siblings or children. Foster conversations that make them feel validated. Express love and encourage self-worth. Never let them see disappointment or doubt concerning their ability in your eyes. Knowing that you care, they will never give up on themselves. You have to read the rest of it.
You know what? When she wrote that, that was a lot of determination, but also her way of navigating herself.
Mm-hmm.
And now that she's at a point to where she can navigate safely, Now she wants to tell her, let everybody know how to navigate.
Yeah.
That is so profound. All these pieces that you've recited and that you read, each one of them speaks to an aspect of who we are as a person, as people, but it also speaks to how we're able to approach a problem, assess it, and then make an attempt to repair.
But actually repair.
Yep, repair. And then knowing that when we enact that repair, it's gonna be some things that we're gonna keep, and there's some things that we're gonna throw out.
Yes, yes.
And then understanding after that, and this is the one thing that I was trying to tell. I was talking to a good friend of mine, a brother that I've known for a while. You know, once you do that, I mean, when you've done your best to repair everything and you gave it everything that you had, mm-hmm. and you still can't repair it, are you okay with letting go?
Oh, now you're in the backyard. See, now you're in the backyard of this book, Frederick. Listen, I'm just going to start right in the middle. No show, daddy, step up to the plate. I pray this letter inspires you to do right, to right some wrongs. Evaluate what you did and seek your children's forgiveness. Then you can grow strong and move on together or apart. Forget mama drama and consider your children. They didn't tell you to dip into the candy jar. That was your choice. Give your children the clarity and truth to set their minds free. They deserve closure and truth, and so do you. The longer you wait, the more complicated it will become to say, forgive me, baby girl. Forgive me, baby boy. I'm sorry because I genuinely love you. If that's your truth, speak it. If you don't care, own it. I charge you to chart a new path. Perhaps you had a missing in action dad. You can be the change agent for the next generation. You can be the dad who stayed, prayed, and provided care. Are you the man ready to look over and move forward with grace? Then I salute you. Now take action and grow. Fatherhood takes work. It requires putting in the time and being true to your word. Come on, do the right thing while you still have time. No excuses left. It's time to come clean and put the pain to rest. Your children did not have a choice in their parents, who their parents would be. You, however, can show up and step up or hide behind excuses for the rest of your life. Now is the time to walk out on faith. Be there, share your heart, and run your race. I challenge you to ask for forgiveness and make no excuses. Extend love and speak truth to your sons and daughters. You owe them that and so much more. Open your mouth and express the needed words to rewrite the pain in your children's head. Ask them to forgive you. Apologize for the pain that they had to bear. Saying, I love you can change a person's mindset and heal a broken heart. You are mature enough to correct this wrong. Are you ready to bury the past and create something new? This letter wasn't written to bash nor designed to hurt or make you blue. It was written to bless and incentivize you to do the right thing concerning your children. It was written as an act of love for every little boy and every little girl, no matter what their age, who still carries the visible and the invisible scars that come with daddy lack of love and care. I'll stop there.
Ooh, good grief. So, yeah.
Read the book. Get the book. Go to my website, www.drccthelladyofwisdom.com. You can purchase the book now for $22.99. Mm-hmm. Or you can go out there to Amazon where they're selling it for $49. So I say, please come to my website,
www.drccthelladyofwisdom.com,
and get your copy, or more importantly, get copies for your friends, for your brother, for your sisters. It's a great Mother's Day gift. It's a wonderful gift for women who are trying to heal and men who need to figure out, how do I step up to the plate? Because I want to get this burden off my back with my children, because I love my kids. One section in there talk about, are you the daddy that hides behind the scene? You show up, but your children don't know. Are you the one that just don't show up, period? It's deep. It's uncovering. Very. But it sets you free.
Look, I'm gonna tell y'all this. I implore y'all to get this book. We Write the Letters That Heal Uncovered, an anthology of women who have written heartfelt letters that express that they express a lot. They express a lot of feeling. They express a lot of emotions, but they also express a lot of. They express hope. They express joy. They express elation in knowing that at the end of that letter,
victory.
Yep, victory. That all the things they've written off, they've written, is washed away.
Yes.
Woo! I need y'all to support my sister. Honestly, I'm telling y'all, because just from listening to the, if you heard these pieces, and if you were not moved by either one of them, I'm gonna tell you something wrong with you. Something wrong with you. Because any of these pieces that she's read over this past hour or so, one of these pieces, or even anything, any of those pieces that when you purchase a book is going to be relatable to you.
Yes.
And it's going to speak to your situation specifically. Now, Ms. Dr. Coleman, I would be very remiss if I did not allow you to reintroduce yourself. Well, actually, I take that back. Introduce yourself again to our audience and let us know where they can find your book.
All right. I am Dr. Carolyn Coleman, a.k.a. the Lady of Wisdom. You can find my book on my website, www.drccthelladyofwisdom.com. That's drccthelladyofwisdom.com. On social media, you can find me at The Lady of Wisdom, Facebook, Instagram, any of those social media outlets. We encourage you to pick up the book, share it, because I'm telling you, it's life-changing. This book is dripping with the anointing that can only come by way of God, because none of these women expected to write any of what had been written here. I said to them, the pen was in your hand. You were the one on the keyboard, but God was the one that was dictating, because he knows that he wants his children healed. It's time out to just be healed. It's time to take the band-aids off, and it's time to be made whole. Because once you've been made whole, you're lacking nothing, and you're able to navigate the red seas of your life and still have joy. And that's what we're looking for in life.
That's it. That's all. That's it. That's all. Look, I need you. I'm going to tell you like this. First and foremost, I need you to go to her website. Go grab that book. Don't go to Amazon. Don't do that. Support her directly by going to her website and purchasing that book. You know what happens when you go to Amazon and you purchase a book. You know, we know what that is. But also on the flip side of that, what I also want you guys to do, if you're able to, and I highly advise that you do, if you're able to, leave a review.
Yes.
Review, as a writer myself, reviews help us as writers more than you could possibly ever
imagine. Yes.
First of all, these reviews are something that we take very seriously, good or bad, or even indifferent. Reviews also help us to improve as writers. Because with the negative and the indifferent reviews, we look at those as opportunities for growth, not just something that makes us feel bad. You know, the good reviews are excellent. They make us feel excellent and make us feel good. But the bad reviews don't. Now, I can say this for me. Bad reviews don't make me feel bad. They make me they force me to think and say, what can I do to improve on the next book that I write? So leave a review for authors. I promise you, you won't regret leaving a good, bad, or indifferent review, because authors like myself, authors like Ms. Coleman, Dr. Coleman, and other authors that I've supported and I've had on this platform, we care about the reviews. It doesn't necessarily matter if it's good, bad, or indifferent. We just care that you leave one.
And we want it to be positive, but more importantly, Frederick, from the aspect of the publisher, the reviews help us to know what to write.
Exactly.
Your review tells us what's in your heart. From the first book, we found out what was in the hearts of people that they wanted shared, but they were afraid to put out there to the public. So as the next book unfolded and God said uncovered, then we began to realize, he said, this is how you heal people. You speak your truth. One lady said to me the other night, she said, I could not imagine when I was hearing what you had written that you had ever experienced any of those things in your life, because you seem to together to have gone through the storm. And I said, baby, without processing, none of us can receive the anointing. None of us will be able to pray people through without being processed. The process is necessary, but the issue is, don't get stuck as a victim. Be willing to understand it is going to lead me to a better place. There is a graduation day after every storm. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, we just encourage people to realize, you know what? Your better days are in front of you. Your future is behind now. You cannot continue to rehearse and rehash your past, because that keeps you bound to the pain. But when you realize at the beginning of the day, wait a minute, it is a new day. It's a new beginning. I have new opportunities. So now, you know what? I'm going to take advantage of them. I'm going to learn from my experience and help somebody else. That's why they call me the Let It Go Specialist. That's why we publish. Anyone out there want to write a book, want to be a publisher, or would like to write your own story, don't take your story to the grave. Contact me. Go to my website. Say, hey, I would like for you to work with me in writing my next book. I do ghostwriting. I do content analysis. So we can do many things to help you. And you don't have to be perfect with grammar. That's what editors are for. You don't even necessarily have to know how to put your words together. That's what a content specialist is. That's what I do. So those things help everyone so that they can grow. And once you can master your thoughts, you can master your life.
One to grow on.
Yes.
One to grow on. And we going, I think at this point, what you just said, the benediction has already been delivered.
Thank you so much for the invitation. I appreciate it.
The benediction has already been delivered. Dr. Coleman, look, I have enjoyed this time with you tonight. Look, it has been a play. It has been an absolute positively great pleasure to have you here. And I am looking forward to purchasing that book. And I'm looking forward to reading those letters and just diving deep into those letters and just using those letters to analyze my own life and kind of put things in their proper perspective as I go through my own journey. Mm-hmm. Because man, when I can't even tell you how much you have literally blessed me tonight with those letters that you've written, because at least two or three of them speak to aspects of my own life. Mm. And those are things that I'm working on currently. And just to hear snippets of those letters lets me know that the journey that I'm taking is for a reason, is for a purpose. Mm-hmm. And I know that I'm on the right pathway because, you know, I hear this voice in my head always saying, keep going. You're going on the right pathway. Or I always hear this voice say, hey, look, don't turn there. Stay here.
Yeah.
And yeah. You know what? I think for me, I don't think I'm gonna sleep for a while. No, because okay. I promise you, it's a good thing because it's a lot for me. It's a lot for to digest, but it's also a lot to think on, a lot to meditate on.
An awakening.
It is, most definitely is.
Yes.
Dr. Coleman, that's why I say that you are a true blessing on this earth. Mm-hmm. You are a true gem. You are a woman of God, a woman of faith, a woman of conviction, but also a woman of making it your life's purpose to unveil the truth. And with that, I salute you. I do. I salute you. You know, I give you a 21 gun salute, man. That says a lot about your character, about your personality, but also about you as a person. Mm. And, you know, one thing I'll say, and I'm going to say this, and I'm going to make this very plain for a lot of people. Please don't wait to give people that you honor and that you respect, or even the people that you love, their flowers. Because life is two things that are very much determined in our lives. One, we're born. Two, mm-hmm. we pass on. Mm-hmm. Do not wait until the person you respect and honor, or the person you love or you care about, passes on to give them their flowers. Give them their flowers now while they're living, so that so they can take those flowers and they can smell those flowers and put them in a vase and admire and cherish them for a little while. Dr. Coleman, you my dear sister, I'm giving you your flowers right now. You get your bouquet of roses right now.
Thank you.
take those roses, plant them in your garden, put them in your vase, love on them and care about them for the time that you have them. But ma'am, you get your flower, you get your bouquet of roses right now.
Thank you. I receive it in Jesus' name.
Yes, ma'am. Ladies and gentlemen, once again, introducing to some and reintroducing to others, Dr. Carolyn Coleman, prolific author, actually all around great person, but also a very powerful woman of God. Her book, We Write the Letters That Heal, Uncovered, this powerful anthology is available right now on her website. Go to her website, grab this book for yourself, and I promise you that your thought process will change, your thought life will change, your life will change when you read these stories. Mm-hmm. Dr. Coleman, again, it's been a pleasure. It's been an honor to have you here on the Author's Alley tonight. I salute you. First of all, as from one author to another, and from one brother to a sister, I am so very proud of you. Thank you so much for being that person that keeps pushing to unveil the truth. We need more people like that. Yeah. We need more people like that. It's been an honor and a pleasure to have you here on the Author's Eye tonight, and I appreciate you so much. Ladies and gentlemen, that's going to conclude this episode of the Author's Alley tonight. The things I want to let you guys know, and there's not an announcement or anything of that nature, but continue to follow us on our YouTube channel. Follow our YouTube channel, like and subscribe to our content. Take a look at our content, number one, and if it appeals to you, if you like what you see and it resonates with you, hit that subscribe button, hit that bell notification so you'll be notified when we go live. We're also on Spotify. We're also on Apple Podcasts. We're also on Google Podcasts. We're also on iHeartRadio. We're also on Pandora and Amazon Music. Take a listen to our podcast. Like us there too. Also share their website. Share it out to people as well. We also have a website, www.trailblazersradio.com. If you want to, you can leave a review on our website. Check out our website. We also have merchandise on our website. If you like merch as much as I do, check it out. We got merch too. But more importantly, follow us on all our platforms. We're on Facebook. We're on Instagram. We're on TikTok. Follow us on all our platforms. We have a fan base. We have a fan base page, and we're working to integrate fan base into our podcast. So follow us everywhere. More importantly, follow this young lady that I have to my right or to my left, however you're viewing her. It is very important that we show support to not only great authors, but also great people. It is imperative that we do that. And with that being said, ladies and gentlemen, I leave you with this. Go with God. Go with the peace of God. Go with the love of God. Go with the hand of God. Love on each other, take care of each other. And we all know that it's a very, very tumultuous and crazy world out here. So above all, please take care of each other. Yes. I'm gonna leave you with a song that I love and that I like. It's from a young lady by the name of Mookstar Dash. It's called Therapy. And it's a great song. The great song that up there we're going to end this show off with. So, ladies and gentlemen, I thank you so very much. Once again, thank you to my guest, Ms. Dr. Carolyn Coleman. We love you guys. We will see you guys in the next one. We love you.
I'ma give myself congratulations because I made it. I'm on a whole new dimension. These miracles on top of blessings. Tell your followers to mention, to mention. You never get through. People change, seasons change. The levels raining all on you. It gets better from here. Ah, it gets better from here. Baby, looking good on me. No pressure, it's time to seek. Therapy. Oh, it's okay to have.